So we're learning Hilchot of Purim. A Megillah is very interesting. A Megillah, it's not like any other scrolls. It's different. You let it decorate it. The kosher Megillah, you let it decorate.
Like with what?
Colorful ink and stuff.
Oh.
Nice stuff. Not the writing.
Yeah, the writing
is
the same.
Yeah. I saw there's a place, you know, the Sheraton Plaza is, mm-hmm. And there the Pinchas Gadosa. I walked, I was there, and they have a store over there, like Yudaika stuff, Yudaika. So they it was before Purim. It was selling Megillas, not regular Megillas, also regular, but they had this Megillah. It was gorgeous, all kinds of beautiful. The whole Megillah Midrashim painted on it. I'm sure it cost a fortune. It's really nice. And you're allowed to put vowels inside. You're allowed to put nekudot. You're allowed to put the trup.
And it's kosher stuff.
Kosher. You got to get brought on it.
So it's called illuminated. That's what they did in the Middle Ages.
Illuminated?
You know, they would have paintings and they put gold leaf on the letters.
That's the only thing that you can.
Yeah, you can't do on a sefer Torah. You can't do on mezuzah. You can't put on tefillin. No.
Right.
Only on Megillat Esther. Top.
It's not called the Sheraton Plaza. That's the old time.
What?
It's not called the Sheraton Plaza.
No, whatever it's called, it's on the other plaza, right?
Yeah, no, it's
Leonardo.
Plaza.
The one across from the Great Synagogue, we're saying.
I stood in the Sheraton Plaza. I don't know what it is today. But someone else owns all these hotels now? They don't buy one, they buy a few here?
You have to buy a whole chain.
Yeah. Oh, that's how it works?
Yeah.
Then that's
stuff.
If you don't have the money, you can't buy one. You have to buy the whole thing.
You have to buy the whole thing. Because it sets up a standard. You know that it's the same hotel at the Dead Sea, and the same hotel in Eilat, and the same hotel in Tel Aviv.
You trust them, and you can
trust the brand name, right?
So who's Leonardo?
I don't know who.
Some guy from somewhere.
I have no idea.
Probably New York or London.
Leonardo. Tough. Now, if someone decided to steal a Megillah and to lane from it. Not okay, but he's got to. Okay. So. Now, the laws of the blessings. We say blessings on the Megillah that we read. Akore et ha-Megillah levarech efaneha shloshah brachot. The one who reads the Megillah, it's put on, Rashi, Tosfos, Rif, Rambam. One reason the Megillah makes three brachas, three blessings before. The first one is Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvotenu Al Mikra Megillah. I'm reading the Megillah. Second one is She'asan Nisim La'Avosenu, that He did miracles to our forefathers. And the third one is She'echiyanu U'bayom Eno Chozom Baruch She'echiyanu. The Shulchan Aruch says in the day we don't say She'echiyanu, but the Rama adds that some say that we do say Shechiyanu, and we, Ashkenazis, definitely say Shechiyanu in the morning. The best thing is, Rav Arush, what he does, he always wears a new tzitzis in the morning, then anybody has to make Shechiyanu, so he covers that and that, all directions. After you lay in the Megillah, there's a special bracha, which says, bless Hashem, that He fights our fights, and He does our judgments, and He fixes us all up. Special bracha, Rav et Rivenu, Adan Dineinu, takes our revenge. And if someone didn't know you have to make brachas, he took the Megillah and read the whole thing, he's going to tell a story. Also without brachas, like putting on tefillin without a bracha, you still put on tefillin. Okay? There's places where you have to do a bracha. Kiddush on Shabbos, it has to be the bracha. You didn't make a bracha, you're not yotzeh. But the mitzvahs of doing, even if you don't make the bracha, you're yotzeh the mitzvah. You have to do a bracha. If you don't do a bracha, you're not yotze. You don't count without making it. The avad, maybe. just by saying the count, maybe it's, yeah, you know what, maybe it's feel your yitz. Mitzvahs, you don't have to dafka make a bracha. Even if you don't make a bracha, you're yitz. But of course you should make a bracha, yeah? Yeah, you hear you say amen, it's like you said it. Same thing. Says in the Mishnah Berurah, "V'nachon lechaven v'rakat shechiyanu gam mishlach malot zedat bumi shegamim mitzvot." V'diyah tzibur zel ha-shariyah tzibur v'diyah v'arach 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 v'arach. In the daytime, when you make shechiyanu, the chazan makes shechiyanu, he should announce in public, or the gabbai should announce, that everyone should have in mind also the mitzvahs of the day, which is giving shalach manis, matanot levyonim, and the poem suda.
Should you get to shul as early as you can to hear the Megillah in the morning?
Yeah, there's an Indian, it's one of the few times that the Baal Shem Tov was very makpid daven nitz, his boy. And bless everyone daven nitz, try to daven nitz. Bless them, especially this year, it's Friday.
Right.
If you're not going to get home as soon as possible,
it's going to be crazy.
You're not going to have enough time to give shachmona, you're not going to have time to have a pustuda, it's going to be a rush. Anyways, it's a rush. Because you have to also go to the mikveh and take a shower and get dressed a little bit, get a little bit sober for the shul. What, you don't drink? What? You drink on Purim, right?
Sure, there is.
Good.
But now I can only drink wine. My friends won't like me.
You drink wine, right?
I only drink wine.
Only wine.
I also only drink wine.
No, I'm not allowed to drink wine.
Yeah, that's it. Wine. They're going to like say, what's wrong with you?
Making a suda with friends and stuff?
Yeah. And we always have a suda together.
By you?
No, with other friends.
Someone else.
That's usually all Baltimore people. Yeah, but there's a lot of us living in Ephraim.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we all have the same name, because we all belong to the same shore. So.
All retired people in Israel, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. ומי שאינו מגילה לא יברך שהחיינו על המשלח מלות ובסודה, וזהו הדבר נהוג בכל יום חשבות יום טוב. Someone doesn't have a Megillah, he can't just say שהחיינו on the Shalach Manas. If you make שהחיינו on the Megillah, you have in mind the Shalach Manas and the Suda and everything. But if someone does not have a Megillah, he doesn't say שהחיינו on the Shalach Manas. Okay, the שהחיינו goes on the Megillah, and then he can add other things in. It doesn't go on the Shalach Manas. Because every Yom Tov, the minute they send your friend gifts and stuff. Now, if a person who's in the 12 months of mourning on his parents, or in the 30 days of other relatives of his, right, the son, daughter, wife, brother, sister, it's the 30 days, and the parents, father, and mother is 12 months. So there's a minhag that you don't say shechianu. The halacha is another that says shechianu. Therefore, no problem. He could lean, but someone else makes the brachos. It's the Ramashane who makes the brachos and who leans. The guy who knows how to lay any lane, and the guy makes the bracha, makes the bracha. Now, if someone's laying in the Megillah and he lost his voice in the middle, it could happen. I almost lost my voice last year in the middle. And so someone else is continuing it. So besides that, someone else is continuing it. And is it continuing it? Mm-hmm. So you don't make another bracha, you just continue from where the guy stopped. And
somebody else can pick it up?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. If a person started laning, and then I forgot to make the brachas. It's in the middle now. So between the chapters, he could stop and make the brachas. Okay.
What if you're reading in the Megillah and you have a bad thought? Do you have to...
Do you think something else?
What?
Think about it.
Nobody knows, except you. Does that invalidate the Megillah?
Yeah. Just think about something else. So Rabbeinu says, you could have in your mind only one thought. Only one thought can go through your mind. So think about something else. Don't try to fight the thought. Just think about something else. That's already...
Sure.
It says, En lasuach ve'od shekorim ota. It's brought down the two. The Rashba. That you shouldn't talk when you read the Megillah. You're not allowed to talk. You hear? Yaakov, don't talk. אסור לדבר בשעת קדם גילה. כתוב פה ככה.
This one a few times the rabbi is strict. Baltimore is very strict and very not
besides the seriousness of the Megillah, also you can cause other people not to be Yotze. You don't want to be Yotze, the Seder. We have no problem with what you want to do. You do whatever you want, but why cause others to lose that?
No, we have a
it's the Avtal Erech HaKamocha.
Major problem with that.
No, and the Megillah also, no. The Avtal Erech HaKamocha. You go to a different place to live. Take a taxi, go to a Sephardi shul. They don't talk here. Whoever talks, it's a staircase. It'll be dangerous. You don't talk. If a person spoke in the middle, so it depends. If it's the Bar Koyre speaking in the middle, it's not such a big problem. Why? Because he stopped, and he said till where he said, and now he's continuing from wherever he's not supposed to stop, but let's say he stopped. He asked someone something. But if you were talking in the middle, you're not hearing what he's saying. You have a big problem. You have to go hear the Megillah again somewhere. Now, this is all we're talking about in the middle of the leaning, but if the chazan or a person heard the brachas, or the chazan said the brachas, and then they spoke before beginning the leaning, the reading of the Megillah, you're not yet, you have to read the brachas again. It's like saying a bracha on an apple, and then talking with someone, without eating. You have to make another bracha. There can't be a hefsek between the bracha and the mitzvah. It has to go right together. If he spoke afterwards, and once he started, but if he spoke before starting the Megillah and after the brachas, you're not yotze. Halacha Gimel. Af al pi sheyatza kva mevarech lotzi acher do chavato. Even though you're yotze already, you're allowed to go, now you're going to go and lane for other people. You're allowed to make the brachas for them. It's like by shofar blowing, the same thing. You heard the shofar blowing in the shul, then you went to the hospital and you're blowing for people who couldn't go to the shul in the hospital. You're allowed to make the bracha for them, even though you're yotze. So the Mishnah Berurah is now, of course he's allowed to lane for them. Again, some say that it's better if the people who, if they know how to make the bracha, the people who were not yotze, they should make the bracha. Some say that only men should do that, women who should not make, only men should make it. All kinds of minagim. I told my wife to make a bracha. I could have also made, but I don't really care. So I was there too. It's like also Kiddush. You made Kiddush once, make Kiddush again. Not at night. At night it's a problem. In the day it's not a problem. At night, you let them make Kiddush. A woman can also make Kiddush at night. For her friends, for girls, for women, for females. So, when you make a bracha for women, it's different a little bit than for men. For men, we said Yulain on reading the Megillah. There are some persons who say women are not obligated in reading the Megillah. They're only obligated in hearing the Megillah. Therefore, there's a different bracha. You could also say reading the Megillah. But it's better to say hearing the Megillah. Baruch Ata Hashem, Asher Kiddushan, Lishmoa Megillah, to hear Megillah, instead of Al Mikra Megillah, about reading the Megillah. But whatever, either or, the women are Yotze, like this or like that. Okay, Alocha Dalet, Mishu Anus Tzat, Veno Yechol Lechet Lebet HaKneset, Vetzorich Lehamti Ad Achar Shekaru HaKal, Vekashe Alav Asher Tanit, כל כך יכול לשמוע קריאה בוודיון מפלג המליחה למעלה, אבל אסור לך קודם שישמע קריאת מגילה, אפילו התענית קשה עליו. יפה מאוד. This is a lot of someone who doesn't live in Yerushalayim. You hear? Listen carefully. מישהו אנוס קצת, someone who is אנוס. He can't go to shul, he's stuck at home. Okay? The baby is sleeping, his wife disappeared, he doesn't know what to do, he's a midwife, he went out to a birth, and he's home with the kids. Now what is he going to do? Okay? And it's a fast day. It's the 14th, it's the 13th of Adar. It's the next week on Wednesday. So what is he going to do now? He's stuck. Because he's fasting and you're not allowed to eat before finishing the Megillah. What could he do? He could go to shul. He knows he won't be able to go to shul on the time that everyone. He could go to an early minyan. If there's an early minyan, he goes to an early minyan. Okay? Or he could himself read it early, like early, an hour before Shkia. Okay? Because if early, then he can read it. But Yavad, yeah? Okay. But to eat before him in the Megillah is asu to eat, unless it's Pikuach Nefesh. Asu to eat before you eat the Megillah. Salam? Even it's very difficult, unless it's Pikuach Nefesh. It says here that what's asu is to eat, it's asu to have a meal. But you can have a fruit, you can have a cracker, you can have something small that a person needs. It's better for him. The first Kippur, it's better for him to taste something to calm him down and hear the Megillah at night than to hear the Megillah early and eat. So the Maaseh, the Mishnah Berurah paskens that it's better for a person to eat something small. To eat something small before they're hearing the Megillah, not a big meal, just a snack. Right? If it's hard for him to fast, he could eat. And then hear the Megillah with everyone else on time. Or at home. So if you will have to wait now till you're home.
I'm at home, this is the situation.
And you have to wait for them to finish the Megillah, and then the guy is going to come to your house to read for you. And here now, you're going to wait now another hour and a half. It's hard. So then you're allowed to have a little snack.
Like a Snickers bar.
So American.
Sugar high, sugar low.
Can I hear a crazy story, man? There's a guy, true story. He grew up in Haifa in a very not religious house. Very not, nothing was religious in his house. And he was a genius, Amash. And at 16 and a half years old, 16 years old, he finished, usually by 18 we finished school year. By 16 you finished everything in school already. And the army heard of him, and they took him. And they put him, he was helping the army all the time for all kinds of, what he was doing is, it was in a secret unit that they figure out codes and stuff. Yeah. And they write codes, he wrote the whole thing, he was working on how to write codes and he was a genius. For 4 years, it was after, at 18 he went into the army regularly, and for 4 years he was in the army, or 3 years in a year before, right, so it's 4 years altogether, and he's ready to, so he had enough, so much pressure, he writes there, I knew things that the prime minister doesn't know, the minister of defense doesn't know, I knew like things, the crazy things. You know, people ask me what I do, I say, I'm in intelligence, I don't have to say it more. And also they didn't have any special uniform, regular uniform, like, most of the time it wasn't even uniform, it was just a civilian. And then he said, after 4 years, he wants to leave. He's sitting in front of his mefaked, his commander, and the commander comes with a contract, he wants him to, till now it was obligated, now it's voluntary, if you want, to work. We want you for another 4 years. And then the phone rings, oh, it's the Ramatkal, I don't know how you say that in English. The guy, the head of the army, the chief.
Chief of staff.
That's the head of the army?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on the phone. He goes, Yossi, congratulations. Thank you for signing for another 4 years. And he hangs up on him. A second later, the minister of defense calls, Yossi, kid, the Sar HaBitachon over here. Shkoyach, thank you so much. You're going to sign. Add for that, please, we really need you. Another 4 years. Very good. He hangs up on him. So they forced him to sign. Of course, he got a very fat, big salary, and very heavy, big salary, and he got a car and everything. But he didn't want it. He worked another 4 years, very, very hard. Now, right before it was like 4 days before he was released. So his driver, he had a driver. I don't know his name, but it was he had a big kipanana. His driver, and he tells him, "Mafaked, please." There was a traffic jam. I see we're going to be stuck here for an hour. There's a shul right here. I want to go hear some Torah, okay? Okay, let's go. And he also goes in. And he hears the Rav speak. There's nothing in the world. Only Torah. Only serving Hashem. There's nothing in the world. So Yeah, yeah, okay, fine. I forgot the sentence exactly, but it was in sentence that he... Anyways, he finished the army after 4 days. He went to Thailand. He went all over the world. Ken, whatever. He was very... He comes back to the country. He was 30 years old or something. Looking for a job. And he sees a job. A civilian company that they're looking for someone who knows how to do the codes. So he calls. He says, okay, you're invited to an interview at 2 o'clock on Sunday. He gets here on Sunday and he sees 40 people there. He asks them, well, when are you? They're all 2 o'clock. So what the heck? What's going on here? So he's sitting there and suddenly there's a beautiful, beautiful music sound at 2 o'clock. Exactly, the whole thing there. Yeah. And everyone's sitting there. Oh, very nice, is it? Suddenly he runs to the door, starts pounding on the door of the administrator. Manahel, yeah? Administrator?
Director.
I want the job! And everyone's yelling at him, what? We were here before! So he opens the door, come inside. And he walks outside with him. He said, okay, I'm sorry, Veseda, we don't need your stuff anymore. You get why?
No.
So anyways, a few days later, he's talking with him. He gets a letter, and he tells him, go home, we'll send you a letter. And he sends a letter. He said, well, we have explanations. And a letter that the music that was played, there was a code in it. That if you want the job, run now to the door of the director and pound on the door. And he's the only one who heard it. No one else heard it. It's a true story. Interesting, huh?
Right.
They could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit of advertising.
It's really interesting, huh?
Yeah.
And he had it. Anyway, he's getting his job and everything. And then he's going out. He went outside the building, and a car stops next to him. It was the same as driver from a few years before. Yeah. Fakir, you want to hear Shiur Torah? He said, "Yeah, why not?" He jumps in and he says, "Since then, I'm studying and learning in the yeshiva. He got married, saved him from all those confusions and stuff."
Did he take that job?
No, he quit.
Why?
He wanted to sit and learn. He became religious. He did shuva.
After he got the job.
Got the job.
Yeah.
And then he met the guy outside. He tells him,
all on the same day?
Yeah. He says, you want to come with me to Shiur Torah? He says, yeah. And he's like,
wow.
So he told him that he doesn't want the job.
Anyways. Now he's just in
yeshiva. Yeah. He says, so the past 10 years, he's sitting and learning. So it's a new book, only a year old, so we could say that the guy is about in his 40s.
So he wrote a book?
He didn't write a book. No. There's a guy, Kobi Levy. People write him their stories, and he knows how to make them nice.
Okay.
There's people like that. They're very talented, and take a boring story, they can make it the nicest thing.
In English or Hebrew?
That's in Hebrew. He has a whole series. He's about Shuva himself. There's a book that he wrote about himself. How did he do tshuva? He said that he was a journalist in a very chiloni paper, in Haaretz or something, like against religion and everything. And they wanted him. They told him, "We want you to do a article that the whole Chazal Rabbi tshuva and everything." Of course, in our eyes, we want it to be that people won't want to do tshuva. So they sent him to a seminary of Arachim. You know what that is? Like if you're doing tshuva, some people are a little bit interested. They make a Shabbos for the Shabbaton or whatever. They have the teachers and they have lectures and all kinds of things. And he went there for the Shabbos. He's thinking, yeah, I'm going to write about the Haredi. I have what to say. What's it? And he goes there and he became religious.
I guess he changed his rule to newspaper.
They fired him. The whole point was that he writes against religious, and he's very talented and he writes beautiful stories. I just my boy from the library, number 8, The Journalist, it's called The Journalist 8.
Yeah.
No. The 1, 2, 3, a whole series, gorgeous, every story full of emunah. And also he has at the end of the story, he brings down like what you learn out of the story, all kinds of what good you take out of it, all kinds of interesting things. Anyways. So that was halacha. Yeah, fine. Tomorrow we're going to, not tomorrow, Yom Rishon, we're going to learn about the order of the prayers in Purim. Afterwards, we have to learn about giving tzedakah in Purim. Afterwards, about this Seuda. What is that? And that's the end of Purim, and then we're going to do Purim.